We give you honor and glory today, Lord Jesus. Glory to your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, praise team, so much for leading us to the throne of grace in such an anointed way. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of John? John chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse 37. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? John 7, beginning at verse 37. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the Pharisees to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the source of our refreshing. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you for your word this morning. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would anoint me to preach it in such a way that, first of all, it would bring your name and person honor and glory. And that, Lord, secondly, that it would be an uplifting and a building of faith unto your people. Lord, we walk and live in a dry and thirsty world. But, Lord, may today you give us a revelation to show us that you always have a source of refreshing for us. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When the decision was made by then President George W. Bush to launch what was known as Operation Desert Storm in Iraq to attempt to deliver Kuwait, the generals that planned the attack, and General Norman Schwarzkopf was one of the masterminds behind the plan. They told President Bush that initially, when they faced the vaunted Republican Guard of Iraq, that progress would be very slow and bloody and could potentially cost 8,000 to 10,000 lives of the American soldiers on the ground. And President Bush went ahead with the decision to launch Desert Storm. And after the pummeling in the air for about 2 weeks, the ground forces were prepared to go in. And General Schwarzkopf, in speaking to the young ground troops that were going to go in, knowing that even under the best of plans that he felt his team could lay, that still there would be tremendous loss of American soldiers. And as the ground forces went in, overwhelmingly the reports began to flow in that the Iraqi army was starving in the foxholes and were surrendering without hardly any fight at all. And the ground forces advanced so rapidly, with so few American soldiers being killed on the ground, most of the deaths initially in the ground attack came through error on the American side. In other words, what's known as friendly fire, where miscommunication between forces in the air and on the ground caused bombs to actually be hit some of our American troops. But nonetheless, they advanced so rapidly through the desert, and they were not prepared for that logistically. They had prepared for a slow advance of the army across the desert. Hence, their logistics plans for food and water for the troops were made in that fashion, that it would be a slow process and that logistically they could be supported daily. Well, they advanced so quickly that and launched so deep into Iraq that they couldn't get water to them. And a lot of our army on the ground was about to die of thirst. The Iraqis, they had overcome the Iraqi army and the Republican Guard, but they had advanced so rapidly, which was not planned for, that now they stood in danger, our troops did, of dying of thirst. They couldn't get water to them fast enough, food and water to them fast enough. There was a man on General Schwarzkopf's staff by the name of General McMillan who was a Christian. And the dilemma that the American army found itself in Iraq, that nobody could come up with a solution to get them water and food fast enough due to the rapid advance. They were running out of supplies and some of them going hungry and thirsty. General McMillan prayed. He was a Christian. And asked for God's help. And a captain on the ground stumbled upon an old oil refinery in the middle of the desert that had been abandoned for years. But the way the oil refineries were set up in Iraq, because they set all the ones on fire in Kuwait, but in Iraq anyway, if it was one of the depot points for the oil trucks to come, it was built so that it was to sustain life there for 2 or 3 weeks at a time as the workers would rotate in and out of the oil field. And this captain found this abandoned oil refinery in the middle of the desert that nobody knew anything about. And as part of that refinery, there was a water tower with enough water in it to supply the entire American army on the ground. Isn't that something? And that was a key turning point, really, for the American soldiers on the ground. Even though they faced little resistance from the Iraqi army, they almost died. And you didn't hear a lot about it in the media because they didn't want to put out in the media. But the American soldiers on the ground, tens of thousands of them, nearly died of thirst and hunger in the Iraqi desert. But because one man prayed and believed God, God had a source for them. And it was no accident that that captain found the abandoned oil field. That was a direct answer to General McMillan's prayer, I believe. You won't hear it put across that way in the media. You see, and as I thought about that, was preparing this message this morning. Isn't that like God in all of our lives? He has sources we don't know nothing about. He's not limited in any way to help us and assist us whenever we need it. I also thought about the time when Israel was surrounded by Sennacherib, the Assyrian army. And General Sennacherib told King Hezekiah that they were going to besiege the city and watch them all die of hunger and thirst. Now, in biblical times, when a city was besieged, it was one of the most cruel ways of destroying the spirit of the people inside the city. Because particularly Jerusalem and the cities of that day had great walls built around them. I mean, tremendous fortresses. And they were impenetrable by and large. So when an attacking army would come, what they would do is they could lock up the entire city. Nobody could come in, nobody could go out. And Jerusalem was built like this. But the thing is, as you know, if a city shut up like that where nothing can go in and nothing can come out, after a while, food and water are going to become scarce. And when they would build what was called, the attacking army would build what was called the siege works around the city, there were these great ramps of wood that they would build around the city. As the attacking army had the city was shut up and the attacking army all around the city would build these ramps, if you will, of wood. start building. Nobody could come in, nobody could go out. And once things became difficult on the inside of the city, food and water becoming scarce, the spirit of the people would just crumble, and all they could do was sit inside that city as these siege works were being built, these ramps, knowing that once the ramps were completed, if they didn't starve to death or die of thirst, that the attacking army would come running up those ramps and into the city. And Sennacherib told Hezekiah in a letter he had sent to him, he said, "We will destroy you. Your God is nobody that you believe in. You've leaned on the wrong God." And the great prophet Isaiah went to Hezekiah and told him, God will sustain you, and God will sustain this city. Even with Sennacherib and the mightiest army in the world marching around the city and building the siege works, and people inside the city beginning to die of hunger and thirst, God said, I'm bigger than Sennacherib in essence, and I will not allow him to take this city. And Hezekiah began to cry out unto God. And there was something that, a source that Hezekiah had forgotten about. And it was really analytically and illustratively what Jesus was speaking about here in John 7, 37, 38, 39. Inside Jerusalem, at the heart of the city, was what's called the Pool of Siloam. It was a pool that was fed by what was known as the Gihon Spring, which was miles outside of Jerusalem. Gihon means in Hebrew, bursting forth. Bursting forth. And as Sennacherib had the city surrounded and was breathing out his threatenings, and it seemed hopeless to those inhabitants of Jerusalem, God started a war halfway around the world that drew Sennacherib away from Jerusalem. Because you know why? Also, Sennacherib became tired of waiting. Because Sennacherib could not figure out, after 30 days of laying siege to Jerusalem, how on earth the people inside were still alive. How were they living? And it was all because of this Gihon Spring. It was about 3 miles outside of Jerusalem. And it was a mighty spring, a geyser, if you will. And when Josiah was king, he built the aqueducts that run underground that fed the Pool of Siloam and kept a fresh flow of water all the time right into the middle of the city. And even though it was surrounded, the people had plenty of water to drink. And that's how they lived through the siege of Sennacherib. God sustained them. There's two lessons in the stories I've began this message with today that I believe the Lord wants us to know today. Number one, sometimes God will provide for us miraculously from a source we have no idea of. And He will immediately move and provide the miracle that you need. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God is your source. And your God is not limited, and your God is not going to forget you. Your God is not going to forsake you. He has invested in you His blessed Holy Spirit, and He wants us to know this morning that on the inside of us, there is a spring. There is a river. And He wants you to know that you have a Gihon Spring this morning. Maybe nobody else in this world can see the source of your strength, but it's there. And that Gihon Spring was a type of the mighty Holy Ghost of God that fills you. And as long as your faith is in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, there's going to be a flow of the mighty river of God into your heart and life. And you may find yourself surrounded by the trials of this world, but you have a source of sustainment. You have a source of strength that nobody else in this world can see. It is the mighty Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so this Gihon Spring fed the Pool of Siloam, and Sennacherib became tired of waiting, and tidings of another war drew him away, and he never destroyed Jerusalem. That's illustratively what Jesus was referring to, that exact circumstance here in John 7:37. As he began speaking, the Bible says it was the day of the feast, the great day of the feast. It was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is really what was going on. And when the high priest would go in and offer up the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the entire nation. And it was so sad that the one whom this feast represented was there, and they didn't know it. But he spoke that day. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Now that's interesting, because there's very few instances in Scripture where you'll read where Jesus raised his voice. But in the Greek text this time, when it says he cried, it has the connotation on it that he wanted the attention of the people. He wanted them to know that if they would believe on him, that there would always be a life-giving source of strength and power fed into their spirit. And the Bible says he cried with a loud voice in the middle of that feast, "He that believeth on me." Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad he didn't say he that chants a mantra seven times a day, or he that's good enough? Thank God. Thank God he didn't say that. "He that believeth on me." Oh, I feel that this morning. "He that believeth on me." Thank God. Thank God to get all of the help of heaven. All he requires of us is that we believe him. And when you believe him, when you believe him, I don't care what it looks like in the natural. The armies of hell may have you surrounded, but he, the one you're believing on, will sustain you. I'm so glad the Bible says in 1 Timothy, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Oh, child of God, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you must know that you have an expected victorious end that you are assured of. Hallelujah. We are assured of having the life-giving flow of the mighty Holy Ghost of God all the time into our bodies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said," he's referring to a prophecy from Isaiah, "out of his belly shall flow." That means innermost being. When Jesus was on the cross, let me take you to Calvary's Hill for just a moment. It was sometime between noon and 3 o'clock, and darkness was covering the land. And Jesus was near death. And as I loved the way Brother Swaggart put it one time, nobody saw him die. It was that dark. All they could hear through the darkness, and it was a solar eclipse, one of the greatest in history if you study the background of what went on that day. But it was black. You couldn't even see your hand in front of you. But through that darkness, there was coming a dawn. And at 3 o'clock, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the eclipse began to end and fade away. Light returned to that hill. And you know that in the temple, that veil in the temple that was some 60 feet high, and 3 feet thick. It was Josephus, the Jewish historian, said two team of oxen tied to each end of it couldn't pull it apart. That's how strong it was. And it represented really a separation between God and man. And the high priest found that curtain ripped from top to bottom, revealing the Holy of Holies. God saying to mankind, "You now have access to me through what my son has done on the cross. It's finished. It's finished." And a soldier saw the body of Jesus there on the cross, a Roman soldier. And to make sure that he was already dead, poked a spear into the side of Jesus. And the Bible says that blood and water gushed out. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, that meant innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Due to the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, there was so much more when that soldier poked him with that spear and that flood of blood and water came flowing out of him. It was symbolic, hallelujah, of this river of life, glory to God, that Psalm 46 spoke of. There is a river that shall make glad the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word glad there in Hebrew, it means a life-giving force. Glory to God. Never forget that life-giving force began flowing that day at Calvary, and it's never stopped. He that believeth, hallelujah to the Lamb forever. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God's got tributaries to bless you and sustain you and to keep you that you have no idea of. Hallelujah. You can take anything as a child of God because of the one that is sustaining you. As you believe on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, that river is flowing through your soul, through your being, and it will sustain you. It'll give you life. It'll refresh you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And God will always, always, as long as we believe in Jesus, make sure we have a source of strength in life, spiritually speaking. Just like Captain McMillan or General McMillan when he prayed. You call on him in the midst of your trial. You call on him in the midst of your trouble. He's got a source for you. He's got a source of blessing for you, child of God. My Lord, the benefits of believing on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Hallelujah. The cross is the source of every blessing and everything we're ever going to get from God. And it's more than enough. I love the words. I love to quote them what Jesus said. It is finished. It is finished. Not only was he referring to our salvation, but he was referring to every form of blessing and every form of sustenance, every form of spiritual refreshing that you and I were ever going to need. Hallelujah! He didn't say the Sennacheribs wouldn't come sometimes to surround the city. But he said, I'll be in there with you. And I love it. Somebody said it. I love it. You and God are a majority. You know what? I mean, really, well, let's say at best, God's a majority. But we're in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. If any man be in Christ. Hallelujah. How many times do you hear that phrase in the New Testament? In Christ. In Christ. We're in Christ. That makes us victorious. That makes us a recipient of the blessing of God the Father. That means God will move all of the resources of heaven to assist us in our time of need. Hallelujah. And he hadn't promised there wouldn't be times we'd be trapped inside the city thinking we were going to die of thirst. He didn't promise that. Sometimes he lets us sit inside the city for a while. And liken that to your difficulty, your trial, whatever it may be, your hurt, your heartache. I wish I could stand here and tell you that the Word of Faith teachers were right. And that if we just applied a certain formula that we'd never experience no pain, trouble, difficulty, and we'd all be wealthy and own condos on the beaches of Florida and all that stuff. It's not true. Not true. But what is true is that he's promised there's a river of life flowing out of him. And with us in him, that means our spirits are tributaries for that river of life to flow into continually. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's got many tributaries of blessing for you and me. Praise God. He's got ways of getting us what we need and getting around, over, and through things that the devil in this world may throw as obstacles in our path that we think we've got no chance of overcoming. Praise God. We don't have no chance of overcoming. But glory to God It is finished. Woo! Glory to God. It is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the words. They're reverberating through my soul and spirit with victory this morning. It's finished. And out of his belly's flowing rivers of living water. Hallelujah. That means water that gives life. You know, I get amused. Oh, I do. At these silly little churches and preachers that say, well, we're going to form a life-giving church. You fool. You fool. A church can't give life. A preacher can't give life. But out of Jesus, hallelujah, flows rivers of living water. That's the greatest problem in the evangelical world, as it was this day Jesus stood up and cried at the feast. They'll turn everywhere but to him. That's why he cried with a loud voice. He was trying to get their attention. I see it happening today, and some people are listening, thank God. You know, we Americans, let me share this with you. We think of the whole world, really. Our worldview is formed by everything that goes on here in America. And we think if it ain't happening here in America, well, it couldn't be happening anywhere else in the world. I was watching Sun Life Radio the other morning, the show The Message of the Cross that Brother Swaggart and Lauren and them were on. And they were talking about this pastor in Africa and the revival that God was giving him. They said they had called this great meeting. The Sun Life Radio had said, I believe it was Brother Mike McMullen was in charge of it from down there, preaching this meeting. And through the gifts that folks like us in this church have given to Sun Life Broadcasting, they want to get this message of the cross to the world. That's what that ministry is all about. And though the people running it ain't perfect, and ain't none of us in here perfect, but they've got a pure, perfect motive. They want to get the message of the cross to the world. And they sent tens of thousands of the study Bibles, the expositor's study Bibles, with Brother McMullen down there. And they invited preachers from every walk of denomination in Africa. I mean, there was Word of Faith. There was Church of God, Assembly of God, every kind of belief system you could think of. They invited, and he was going to give them these free Bibles. And Brother McMullen gave them the Bibles and preached to them at this conference, which incidentally, they said they couldn't believe it. They said, we pay tens of thousands of dollars to come to America and hear the Word of Faith teachers, we have to pay to come to their conference. And we walk away with nothing. But at the conclusion of Brother McMullen's preaching that day, they said possibly, and Brother Swaggart said, I don't believe he was exaggerating, it was probably more, over 10,000 pastors repented over not preaching the cross and rededicated their lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To preach the cross. And at the conclusion of the conference, by scores, Brother McMullen said they came to him. They said, we want to be in on what God is doing and the junk that has come out of America. God's, you know, abortion's evil. Homosexuality, evil. There's a lot of evil going on in America. The most evil thing America has done has been done in the so-called Church of Jesus Christ. And that we have exported a false gospel to the world. By and large, thank God. Thank God for ministries like this one here and Brother Swaggart's ministry that has a goal not to swell its ranks but to lead people to the truth. Hallelujah. To lead people to Jesus Christ. And these pastors came up to Brother McMullen by the scores and said, they charge us and we have to pay to travel there. And they said, you have come and we get nothing. They told him, they said, honestly, we've walked away spiritually with nothing from these conferences that we've had to rake and scrape and pay tens of thousands of dollars for just to get there to it. But they said, this conference, you did not charge us one dime to come. And they said, you have given us these Bibles that so open up who Jesus is and what he's done. And they committed to preach that gospel. I'm telling you, this living water is flowing all over the world. Here in America, it may be that there's just going to be a few local little bodies like ours that cling to the truth. And God will use them. God's not interested in numbers. I read an interesting story this week pertaining to the flow of this living water. And it's where people believe on Jesus is where the living water flows. And it's guaranteed. If you'll believe on Him, there'll always be a source of strength and sustenance and a place for your thirsty soul to take a drink from and to be revived, refreshed, and renewed in Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyway, they said that this particular conference that the pastors had been called to attend, and this was by the name of some heretic by the name of Mike Murdoch. I don't know how many of you have heard of him. He's the worst of the worst as far as I'm concerned. He just wants money from people. But he was, I caught him on TV the other day, and he was talking about this thing of where you, something about a $1,000 gift. And he never mentions Jesus, if you watch this guy. He mentions Holy Spirit a lot, but rarely does he mention Jesus. Why? Because Jesus ain't in what he's doing, and he wants no part of Jesus because it would disrupt his whole thing. And by the tens of thousands, people were sending $1,000 offerings to this guy. There's no living water in that. People are going to die of thirst in the middle of what they could be standing in the middle of a river and dying of thirst. Because Jesus is the source and the life giver. Not our gifts. What can we give unto Him? I'm not saying we shouldn't give. But you can't buy His blessing. He said, he that believeth on me, not he that gives $1,000, not he that gives this or that or does some work, it's he that believeth. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you know there's going to be a lot, and there is now. There's a great falling away going on right now in the church world. As all of these false doctrines that America has been responsible for sending around the world, people are dying spiritually. They're falling away because they don't work. They don't work. But thank God for anybody that will stand up and preach Christ and Him crucified. Because there's where the living water flows. It's guaranteed. That's what Jesus was saying at the feast, the state of the people. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go on. I got to hurry. Verse 38, or verse 39, I'm sorry. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. They had no idea that day, and I'm closing now. They had no idea that day that the source of all life was standing in front of them at this feast that represented him. The Day of Atonement. And he was telling them, he wanted them to know. Some caught it. The Bible says that in verse 40. Some believed on him and said, he's a prophet. But by and large, they didn't. But he wanted them to know, I'm your source. I'm the source of life. I'm the source of strength if you'll just believe on me. You'll never go thirsty. There will always be some way. And this is the crux of what I believe the Holy Spirit wanted to put across this morning. I'll always have a way to sustain you and hold you up. That's what he was saying there. From me shall flow the river of living water. Water that gives life. In other words, he was speaking spiritually, of course. Of life-giving spiritual power that only comes from him. Know that. It only comes from him. And in America, I'm praying for God to give us a revival like these pastors had in Africa. I don't know that we'll see it, though, because American evangelicalism has become so prideful. In Africa, they don't have much. And I was drawing that correlation, too. That's what this Mike Murdoch guy was saying. He said, well, somebody asked me, Will this work in Africa? And I said, yes, absolutely it'll work in Africa. Now, how could some of those poor folks over there give $1,000 to a televangelist? No, it won't work in Africa. But what will work is leading them to Jesus. Leading them to Jesus in the foot of that cross where he said, it's finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. glory to God and for people to know that He is the source of life. And if we believe on Him and keep our belief on Him, there'll always be a source of life flowing to you and I. I'm here to tell you what I'm preaching this morning will heal most mental difficulties. It'll heal the things that so emotionally affect mankind. Because if your belief is not on Him exclusive, there's no living water flowing. I don't care how many programs you go through and how much money you give. There's no living water flowing if the belief is not in Him. But if it's in Him, if it's in Him, I'm not preaching you'll never have a time of difficulty, that you'll never be sick or anything like that, but I'm here to tell you that living water will be there to sustain you. It'll be there to hold you up. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. My mom, she had to have some surgery on Friday with her gums and things, and she's pretty sore. That's where Ravonna's at this morning. She's with her. But really, it was good because I had a chance to sit around and talk with Mom a whole lot the last couple of days, something we haven't had in quite a number of years. And I don't believe she'd mind me sharing this. I know Mom's getting the message of the cross now. Took a lot to get her past the Church of God jargon, as it does all of us. But she's getting it. She's getting it. Watch Brother Swaggart with me for about 2 or 3 hours. And so, Philip said, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm here to tell you, play around the creek bank of this living water, you'll eventually fall into it. Amen? You'll get wet eventually. Glory to God. And it'll feel so good, you won't want out of it once you get into it. Praise God. But anyway, we were talking. I know everybody here this morning. Normally, I probably wouldn't share it this openly, but we don't have really any visitors that I know of today. I was telling her about the debacle at Christ Chapel that we went through. And I said, Mom, I know, I said, through all the difficulty that we went through at Christ Chapel and all it cost, which is minuscule, really, when you look at the scheme of things, but all I felt it cost me and my family. I said, I have no doubt. And even knowing how it turned out, I'd answer God's call again to come there because I know He sent me there. I said, just because it wasn't rosy and wasn't smooth. But I said, Mom, had God sent me there into that situation without me knowing the message of the cross, I said, I'd have lost my mind. You all don't know the nights that I laid over there in that office with the lights off, crying out to God, asking Him to help me or change, if I was preaching it wrong to change me. And I was really hoping at times that God would say, yep, you're saying it all wrong. That's why they're responding this way. Say it this way. I wish that's what, honest to God, I laid for hours in the dark in that office asking Him for help. Because I always look, I try, if something's going bad spiritually or appears to be going wrong spiritually, I look to me as the first source of error. And I'm like, okay, it's, and you know what, time after time, and I didn't shout over it, believe me, it's a, you're preaching exactly what I want you to preach, you don't change a word of it. And He would refresh me. That's what I want you to know. When it felt like 90% of that church hated my guts and would have killed me or hung me up in front of everybody if they could have, this living water would start to flow. And in that dark office, I don't know how many nights I laid on the floor there. I'm serious, stretched out prostrate before God, asking Him for help and strength. And you know, really, I'm ashamed to admit it in my spirit and in my heart what I was asking Him for. And I'm ashamed to admit this, but it's the truth. Because I knew in my heart what was making everybody mad. It was the message. It was the message. And I was, in essence, asking Him, Lord, could you give me a little reprieve and give me something else to say? I knew that in my heart. Hey, y'all, again, I'm not bragging. I could have our church right now. I said I, not the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. I could have this place running 500 people inside of 6 months from now. Because God's gifted me to speak. And, you know, I could change the message and make it like a Joel Osteen message. And I know how to preach that way. It don't take a lot of talent or ability. He's not a good preacher by any stretch of the imagination. He just preaches what flesh wants to hear. He just says what flesh wants to hear. If I were standing in front of y'all, you all are a great people, and God loves you, and God's got nothing but blessing for you no matter what you do. Why, my Lord, that flock here by the tens of thousands, probably would have a mega church here in Springfield. It ain't hard to do if you go that way. I'm surprised that some of them here in Springfield, they're really, I'm going to preach now. You got some stupid pastors that not only are they stupid in that they've forsaken the cross, but I'd be ashamed. I'm serious. If I had chosen to go the route that some of them are going, I'd be ashamed that my church was still only running 100 or 200. You get what I'm saying? I'd be ashamed, because if you can't preach flesh and get above 200, you're a sorry preacher. You can't even preach wrong right. You can't even preach wrong right. But in those hours, there was never a time that when I went into that dark office and laid there, that, man, this living water wouldn't flow before I come out of there, when he'd tell me, you keep preaching exactly what I'm telling you to preach. If you want my blessing and you want me to take care of you, you keep preaching what I tell you to preach, which is the truth. And man, I've always said it, and maybe it's something you can't understand, those of you that aren't in ministry, but as a minister, you know it when you get the amen of heaven. You know it when God speaks to your heart directly and says, you're preaching exactly like I want you to. Man, there is no greater feeling in this world. And time after time, that living water would flow to me, and the Lord would encourage and strengthen me, and I'd get back up. I got an inkling of how Paul did it now. When I'd read about his life before I knew the message of the cross, I think, man, how could he keep going into town and getting beat up and stoned and whipped and called everything in the book? And as quick as he'd recover from it, get right back up and do the same thing again. What drove him? I know what drove him. He got the amen of heaven. The Holy Spirit was giving him life and telling him, you're preaching what God wants you to preach. You're preaching God's truth. And God is giving you his amen. And there's going to be an eternity that you'll be blessed in. You may not have it right now. You may not have much at all right now. But there's coming a day when the rewards are handed out at the judgment seat of Christ. This world will see that I have blessed you and put my approval on you. Praise God. Praise God. So I know what it's like to hurt as I'm closing now. But I also know what it's like in the middle of that hurt, that sometimes, I know we could all testify as to the times that the Lord did something miraculous for us. I mean, man, we prayed, and for whatever reason, in his perfect will, he chose to just, boom, give us a miracle. You know? That's another thing I was talking to Mom about, was how I got on over in Columbus at this job that God has so blessed me with, that's enabled me to go on ministering here. I said, Mom, there's people killing for these jobs. People would kill for the job I have right now that have PhDs and every other kind of letter after their name. And God, within 2 weeks' time, gave it to me. I told her, I said, Mom, I had nothing. I said, I never dreamed I'd be in a situation like I found myself in when the Church of God just kicked me and my family to the curb. I mean, if you're one of their fair-haired sons in the Church of God, I haven't talked a lot about this before, but we're all home folks this morning. Well, I've known of preachers, they've paid their full salary for 2 and 3 years waiting for them to get another church. If you're one of their fair-haired boys, and you'll play their game. I think you all know I wasn't one of their fair-haired boys. You praise God, yes. Thank you, Deb. Praise God, I wasn't. But I was one of God's fair-haired boys. Because my faith was in Jesus. Hallelujah. And he sent me a source. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he doesn't do it that way every time. Sometimes he'll leave us there and sustain us and show us, for whatever sovereign reason he has as God. But he'll keep letting us know. He'll keep letting the living water flow. And if we got that, that's why King David could so boldly say, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. And that's really all we need to know. The living waters flow unto you this morning because you're believing on him. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. It don't matter what the Sennacheribs of this world are telling you. And you may be sitting there thinking, I'm dying of thirst spiritually, Lord. What's going on? Why won't you instantly deliver me? Keep on believing in him. Just keep on believing in him. Because if you believe on him, it's guaranteed the living water is flowing. And victory and deliverance will come. It will come. Don't turn to another source. That's the temptation we get into, ain't it? I often wonder if Captain McMillan hadn't prayed. You know, you read about the great victory of Schwarzkopf and everything. And Schwarzkopf probably wouldn't have had that great victory he had if it wasn't for that Captain McMillan on his knees. Or General McMillan, that one captain, his name has escaped me. And I read the story all week long to make sure I get it right, and I forgot his name now. But the one captain who found that abandoned oil refinery with all the water in it. That was no accident. God led that man there based on General McMillan's prayer. It won't make headlines here on earth, but one day in the portals of glory, oh, I'm looking forward to that's one of the greatest things that's going to be about being in heaven. It's all this stuff that God did behind the scenes, you know, that the world didn't applaud or give any credit to him over. It's all going to come to light. And at the great white judgment throne, hallelujah, not the judgment seat of Christ. That's for us believers only, where our rewards are going to be handed out. But at the great white judgment throne, all this will come to light. Hallelujah. And all the times we'll see once we're in a glorified body, all the times the things happened we didn't understand, but we went through it, and he sustained us. He didn't deliver us immediately, but he sustained us and gave us the life-giving power. It was there all the time. Song I love, written years ago. I forget exactly who wrote it. It's called "He Was There All the Time." Beautiful song about God being with us all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. See, sometimes if we slip and we start turning to another source, God's grace and mercy and patience with us, he'll allow us to do that, but he'll stand close by. He'll stand close by until we realize, that's my mistake. I've turned from believing on him. And when we repent and turn back, the flow of the living water comes again. Hallelujah. And we're reminded we can go on. We can make it because he is our source. He is our life-giving source. He is our victory. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And that was in the plural there, rivers, because we're all a tributary of that river of life that started flowing that day on top of Calvary's hill when he said it's finished, and was symbolically portrayed by the soldier sticking the spear in his side and blood and water gushing forth from him. That's the river of life. That's where it started, at the cross, and it still flows from the cross. He that believeth, I love those words, he that believeth, that's all you got to do this morning. That's all he wants you to do this morning is just believe him. Just believe him and know that he is your God and that he will sustain you no matter what it looks like. If you'll just believe on him, the sustaining power, the refreshing power of the river of life will continually flow into you and I no matter what our situation is. And we'll be able to stand. We'll be able to walk through it. We'll be able to live through it. Because of him, Jesus, the giver, and the source of life. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel it now. That life-giving river is flowing through the sanctuary right now. And it's because of you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the power of God in this place this morning. Lord Jesus, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Don't need to know. Some of your situations this morning, I know I'm not trying to pretend to be super duper spiritual. There are others I know I don't know about. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me that. You've had a Sennacherib in your life. So the powers of darkness through a situation or situations in your life have been telling you at times when you're alone, you're not going to make it, that you're going to be destroyed. Let me ask you something. You're still standing, ain't you? That's because you're believing on Him and that life-giving source is flowing through you, and He will not see you to go down. You know, when you name the name of Jesus and you live for Him and you let this world know it, you have put His credibility on the line before the world. And He, even for His own name's sake, He wouldn't let you go down. To prove to this world, that is my child and I care for my own. Hallelujah. I feel that this morning. For His name's sake. But He loves you and went to the cross for you so that this living water could flow to you. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what the powers of darkness, your friends, your family, whoever has been taunting you, the situation on the job, the situation in the marriage, the home, finances, whatever it may be, hasn't He sustained you? And I know some of you are saying right now, and I've been there, Lord, I wish You'd just take care of this all at once for me. There's been instances, you know, He's done that for you. But maybe in the circumstance you're finding yourself in right now, He's letting the Sennacheribs yell at you. But He wants you to know He is your pool of Siloam in the middle of the besieged city. Hallelujah. He's your giver of life-giving Holy Ghost power. And He will not stop that if you'll just keep believing Him. And your victory will ultimately come. He pulled Sennacherib away from the besieged city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem thrived. And they were able to go out and tear down the siege works. And He restored, eventually, the entire city. That's what He'll do for you and I if we'll just keep believing Him. In the midst of the attack, just keep believing Him. You haven't gone down, have you? You haven't lost your mind, have you? You may feel like you're going to. He knows exactly how much we can take. And the Bible says He won't put more on us than we can bear. That's speaking to His children. And I know some of you might be thinking, Lord, I wish I wasn't the test case for everything. So I wish You'd make somebody else a testimony now and then of what You could do. But I've told several of you this, and I so mean it, as I've watched your lives and the things you've gone through. You don't know what a blessing you've been to the rest of us because we have watched the Lord sustain you. You thought you were losing your mind. You thought you were going down. You thought life would never have any joy to it again. And he's still restoring some things in some of us. But we've watched you live as you face the powers of darkness and situations that would have caused someone who didn't know Jesus to go do drugs, to go start drinking. Do a myriad of things, trying to find peace and solace, but you didn't do that. You might have been tempted to at times, but you didn't, did you? You know why? That life-giving water of the Holy Ghost flowing into you wouldn't let you, and He sustained you. Believe on Him today. I don't know your situation, but I do know this. I don't need to know the situation. I know that He knows it, and I know that He wanted all of us reminded today. There's a life-giving river flowing into you and I, the Holy Ghost of God, who is our sustainer, our refresher, our strengthener. The Holy Ghost imparts to us and sends the river that Jesus paid for our way, glory to God, so that we never have to go spiritually thirsty. It's always there.
Jesus is our pool of Siloam. And the Holy Spirit is the water in the pool. He's made provision, glory to God, for every one of us through his victorious, vicarious, atoning death on Calvary's cross. Believe him today. That's the message of the Holy Ghost. Believe him today. Keep believing him today. He'll not fail you. He will not fail you. Praise God. I'm going to ask everybody who would. Now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you today. I know that living water has been flowing. I know everybody here believes on you. But Lord, today I sense that many need that extra flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They need that extra flow today just to assure them and to refresh them to the point that they know God is with me. God is with me. Things may not change immediately, but God is with me. And he's going to fulfill his promise ultimately in my life to give me victory over this situation, whatever it may be. My, I sense a great, great move of the Holy Ghost this morning. I believe you do too. Lord, I thank you for this message from your word this morning. Lord, let the river flow right now. Let the river of life, the mighty Holy Ghost of God, that you paid for with your precious shed blood for us to experience, let it flow into every heart right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a strong move of his Spirit. And that strong move of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and life is going to refresh you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, let the mighty river of life wash over Deb afresh and anew today, Lord Jesus. Giving her strength, hope, courage, refreshment, Lord. I sense you doing it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lay your hand upon Linda today. Let the river of life flow all over her in the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus today, let the river of life wash over Cora today. Lord, let it wash away doubt and fear. As she places her faith and trust exclusively in you, Lord Jesus, let the refreshing come. Let the fear be driven away. Let any shame be driven away, Lord Jesus, in your precious blood, for she is your child. Lord, there is no shame, doubt, or fear in you, Lord. And Lord, Cora is in you. Give her a refreshing of the mighty Holy Ghost of God today. I pray greater than she has ever experienced before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, touch Jeremy today in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him today, Lord God, I pray. Let the river of God flow all over him in the name of Jesus. Let him walk out of here refreshed and renewed, revived and ready to go on in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Glory to your name. I want to pray for you, my brother. Heavenly Father, have your way, Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, sensitize us all and use somebody to give us an interpretation of your word today. Speak out if the Lord has given you the interpretation. Don't be afraid. Let him use you.
Don't be afraid. Speak it forth now. God's given it to somebody. Let him use you. He wants to use you. Nobody's going to look down on you or anything like that. If you know he's speaking to you for that interpretation, it'll be a blessing to all of us. Let him use you right now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worship him right now, church. What a message. What a message. Lord, thank you for affirming that in tongues and interpretation, you're here for us and you are our source. Thank you, Lord. We so needed that today in the name of Jesus. All of us needed that. And that word was for each and every one of us that the Holy Ghost just spoke. Receive it. I feel the Lord giving me special instructions right now for you to receive into your heart by faith that message that the Holy Spirit just spoke in tongues and interpretation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive your word today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you for a divine healing for my brother today, that your power would fall on him now, your gracious healing power that was paid for by the shedding of your precious blood. Touch him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we believe it, Lord. We believe it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lay your hand upon my sister Phyllis. Let the refreshing of the Holy Ghost fall all over her, Lord. I just sense she needs a refreshing from God. We claim your word today, Lord. You are our source. Lord Jesus, minister your refreshing unto her today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, lay your hand upon my sister Helen, Lord. Let the refreshing power of the Holy Ghost fall all over my sister. Let her walk out of here refreshed, revived, and renewed in the Holy Ghost, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, minister unto Chris right now, Lord. My dear brother, who I'm so privileged to minister with and spreading the message of the cross, refresh him today, Lord. Renew him and strengthen him in every way. Give him an extra flow, I pray today, of the river of life, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, just lift your hands and praise him right now. Receive that word that the Holy Ghost spoke. Reach out by faith. And the Holy Ghost has given us a word from heaven. Jesus is our source. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. What a flow of the Spirit of God this morning. Lord, yalamahasitu yalabahuti yalabahusanda yalabahatiya. Lord Jesus, we honor you, we praise you, and we thank you for sending us this reminder from your word that, Lord, you are our source and you will strengthen us and you will sustain us. And, Lord, you will give us life-giving sustenance. Praise God, praise God, praise God forevermore. Glory to the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for moving upon us in such a mighty, mighty way today. Glory to God. Just let him bless you for a few moments where you stand. I believe it was Pastor Brian that wrote that song, Times of Refreshing. As we stand in your water and in your presence, let your times of refreshing come. Lord, we thank you today for this time of refreshing. Hallelujah. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And Lord, remind us that you're with us and that you're our source as we leave here today. As we conclude this service, may we take deep in our spirit the words that the Holy Ghost has spoken today, that you are our source, Lord Jesus. Not our employers. It doesn't matter how many layoffs they say are coming. You're our source, Lord Jesus. Not the Department of Defense. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're our source for everything. And we take your word today that you have spoken to us, and we receive it with gladness, with joy, and we allow it to renew and refresh us. Thank you, Jesus, for the movement of your precious Spirit today and the gifts of the Spirit today. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We honor you, Lord Jesus, and we're so grateful. My Lord, how does anybody get by without this? How does anybody make it without him? My Lord, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. Well, thank you so much today for being in God's house. I think we've all been blessed by the Holy Ghost, and I just feel renewed in my spirit going out of here today. Praise God. I believe you do too. And just be safe going home. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you on Wednesday night. We're having our harvest party on Wednesday night. Be having hot dogs and just some food and fellowship. And I'll be sharing a little word with the kids. I got to do that last year, and that was special. So we won't have our normal type Wednesday night service, but come on out and be with us, and let's have a hot dog. Hebrew Nationals, 100% pure beef. I bought them myself. They're not your average hot dog, because I don't like average hot dogs. That stuff that has some kind of meat in it, I don't know what. But these are good. So come on out and be with us. And we're going to have some desserts and snacks and all kind of stuff. So come on out and be with us. Jeremy, come just.